This week's parsha of Bamidbar, parsha before the holiday of Shavuot, teaches us not only about the content of the parsha, but also has tremendous ramifications for preparation of Shavuot, and by extension, the preparation for life. I'd like to speak about the parsha in general through the eyes of one particular pasuk in the parsha. It's a pasuk that's not a very famous pasuk. It's a pasuk that we barely take note of. And I think part of the beauty is how every single pasuk in the Torah teaches us layers upon layers of insight, of understanding, and of depth for our lives. Toward the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us about the different jobs that the tribe of Levi had in order to prepare the Mishkan, the tabernacle, to be able to be carried throughout the sojourn in the desert. And it speaks about how they covered the holy items and how they carried it. In this particular section, in chapter 4, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, source number 1, the Torah tells us, and this will be our major focus, Bezrat Hashem today, the charge of Elazar, son of Aaron the Kohen, is the oil of illumination, the incense spices, the meal offering of the continual offering, and the anointment oil. The charge of the entire tabernacle and everything in it, of the sanctuary and its utensils. It seems to be a very, at first glance, very simple pasuk. This is what Elazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen, was in charge of. Here there's a very interesting Ramban. The Ramban notes, in source number 2, that Elazar personally was appointed to carry the oil and the incense, despite their great weight. Because after all, the oil and the incense wasn't that which would be sufficient for a day, but rather for a period of a year. A tremendous amount of oil, a tremendous amount of incense. And he was blessed with miraculous strength, because apiderach hateva, according to natural law, it would be almost impossible for an individual, unless they really worked out, to be able to carry such thing. And the pasuk is, for those who hope to Hashem, renew their strength. Or one could say that Elazar was charged with personal responsibility for them, but not actually to carry them. It's these two interpretations of the Ramban that I'd like to try to examine a little bit more deeply, and more specifically, what lessons that we can glean for our lives. I'd like to try to take a look among the Mefarshim of four different ways that we can approach the concept of Elazar carrying the items, the incense, the oils, etc. What lesson do we learn for our lives? So the first of the four approaches is found in the Pinyin Medas Rav Lach. And he says, L'chorak Hashem, source 4, Mekevat Shaya Elazar Nesia Nesim, Elazar, after all, was the prince of the tribe of Levi. Lame Tilo La Dorim Elo Bepratut? Why do we lichanyen behem? Why are we being told about what specifically he carried? And according to the interpretation that Elazar himself was carrying them, beyond what the human capacity is to handle. Is it appropriate that a nasi, that a prince, should be carrying this tremendous burden? How are we to understand this? So tells Rosh Hashiva, explains the following. V'nira shemizanim ulamedin, we learn from here. This is level number 1. Ki ef shar liyot manhig ha-mitzvah, you can't command others to be involved in a project. V'leo mifkar al-acherim, and to be in charge in others. Im b'atzmo eino sovel et sevel havodah, if you yourselves are not carrying the load yourself. V'zeh limud gadol, and this is a tremendous lesson. Bavodas HaKodesh, being involved in the service of that which is holy, or Batzas Torah, and spreading Torah, Vehavein, and understand this well. And this idea is echoed in 5b, in Rav Zeidel Epstein, in Sefer Ha'aros, where he says this is the major difference between the Manhige Yisrael and Manhige Umos Ha'olah, between the leadership of Klal Yisrael and the leadership of the nations. The leadership of the nations, the greater a person is, the less they are involved in working. They delegate to others. but rather Dafka Hagadol Motzei Lenachon Lisal Shma Shichmo Masar Kaved Achizukukim Lenei Sheh Bekocham Lachoz Masal Keelu. And that this is the very difference, that a Jewish leader is no Seba Ol Yisrael Mamet, literally carries the burden. And we see from here what we learn about Jewish leadership. And in fact, this is echoed in a very famous Chazal. The Yalkut Shimoni brings down that after the war, the first war of Ai, where when Achan had taken from the spoils the Jewish people, lost the war, right after the war of Jericho, and Yoshua sat on the ground in mourning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kum lecha, get up. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says in 5a, Lo kach amar Moshe, ki hu yavor lifnei am. Did not Moshe Rabbeinu tell you that you should lead the people? Im yavor ovrim, and if you are in charge of leading them, they'll cross over. Im lim lav ein ovrim, and if not, they won't cross over. In manchil noflim, if you are in charge of giving them the nachla, the inheritance, they will inherit. Vin lav ein noflim. Vata shalachta ta'am v'lo halachti mahem. Because, says the Medrash, you sent out the troops to the Ai, and you didn't go with them, that's the reason why they were not successful in the war. And we know this about, on the ground, in terms of the Sava, in terms of the army, the Jewish general is the one with that famous command of Acharai, after me. It's not that he sends the soldiers in and he stays in the back. The Jewish view is that leadership is about being on the front line, being there, being among the people. It's the view of Moshe Rabbeinu, who put the bricks on his shoulder to be nosei ba'olim chaveru, to feel the pain, to be part of this. And this is lahavdil, you take a look at, I don't know if you can even make such a comparison. Take a look at a president of the United States when he retires, right? So what does he do? I'm sure he plays golf most of the day. And he gives speeches at $300,000 a head, however much he charges for each speech. And then that's his, you know, responsibilities. And you compare him, lahavdil, you can't even compare it to a gadol b'Yisrael who's immersed in Torah all day. And what is he doing with his free time? He's not up on the golf field. And when he gives lectures, he doesn't charge that type of money. What does he do all day? He listens to people's issues. He gives eitzah, he gives advice, he gives bracha, he gives yayot. It's all about feeling the pain of the people and being with the people, trying to help people make major decisions in life, whether medical, whether financial, whatever it is. That's a gadol b'Yisrael. That's someone who's carrying the burden. Elazar carrying this burden, which is a superhuman strength, is really a model of leadership. It's about handling, even beyond what we would understand, the burden of the people, being part and parcel of the people and not being separate. That's a gadol. That's someone who's great. It's Dafka the Nasi. It's specifically the prince who's carrying such a heavy load as a demonstration of what, in Jewish terms, great Jewish leadership is about. It's carrying a tremendous load in all, not off in the golf field, but rather in the personal problems of the people. Reminds me of a story of a young boy in high school who made a tremendous turnaround, almost seemingly overnight, from being what we'd call a typical high school boy, really not into learning, suddenly being a very star boy who's into Siddurim, and ultimately dedicated his life to Torah and to the Kol Leibes Medrash and to learning Torah. And he was asked, what was the change? How did this 15, 16-year-old boy, like, overnight shift? And he said what made a tremendous impact on him was once, this was in Los Angeles, he was in high school, a special Menahel principal, and the Menahel, there was a speech, and the principal says we need to bring chairs to a certain room, you know, for the speaker, you know, that we'd all have enough chairs for the boys when the speaker comes in. And he said the principal just didn't say to the boys, okay, come on, guys, let's get chairs. He himself picked up the chairs and worked with the boys in setting up the room. And the boys said when he saw this principal, who was exerting himself physically to set it up, and not just standing back with arms folded, giving out direction, that made such an impression on him. He says, if this is what Yiddishkeit is about, this is where I want to dedicate myself. This is where I want to devote my time and energies. That is the model of godless, of carrying the load. That, my friends, is level number one. To introduce the second level, I'd like to do a very beautiful piece of the Kriya Moed, Rav Reis, who asks a very, very obvious question. We're now in the Tkufa, the end of the period of Sfiras HaOmer, literally the counting of the Omer. And he asks a very basic question. Why do we call it counting of the Omer? Should we not call it preparation for Mamad Har Sinai, for receiving the Torah? Call it something a little bit more spiritual than counting of the Omer. And further, the concept of Shabbat plays a major role within these psukim. We count Mimacharat HaShabbat from the first day, which is Pesach, which is called Shabbos. We count until Mimacharat HaShabbat HaShvi'it, the seventh full week, again Shabbos. It's referred to as Sheva Shabbatot Tmimo, seven complete weeks. Why is there this focus, this energy placed on the concept of Shabbat? So here Rav Reis explains. He says, what is the whole concept of the Omer, the bringing of the barley sacrifice the day after the first day of Pesach? So he quotes Rav Tzadok HaKohen at the end of 7, who says that the Minchas HaOmer Kruya B'Torah Reishis, that this korban, this sacrifice, is called Reishi. As the Torah says, Vaveitem et Omer Reishi Ksirchem al HaKohen, and you should bring the Omer, which is Reishi, the first of your cutting to the Kohen. Just like Bikurim, the first fruits are called Reishi. Just like Challah is called Reishi. What is the concept of Reishi about? The Reishi, Baramashal, or Reishi, L'Shem Shamayim. When we bring, last paragraph in 7, the Reishi to heaven, Yeshno Bitui La'akara, Shekol Asher B'yad Adam, Hakol Shayach L'Shamayim. It's making a statement that everything that is in our hands really belongs to Hashem. V'lachein, therefore, B'terem Yishlach Adam Et Yado Le'not Mipeirotav, before a person can even benefit an iota from his fruits of his labors, whom afrishet hareishi legavoa, he takes the first part and he brings it legavoa, he brings it up to high, in order to clearly make a statement that this does not belong to me, but all that I've accomplished, all the fruits of my labor are a gift of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Laviat hareishi, continuing in source 9, La Migdash, is to be able to declare Shel Hashem Ha'aretz Umloa, that Hashem owns everything. And that's why he notes that the first day of Pesach in the Torah is referred to as Shabbos, because Shabbos is this concept of the Yisrusa de la'ela, an awakening of above, that everything belongs to Hashem. But the very next day, our Korban Reishi, we're making that same declaration. Not only when we were in Egypt and enslaved and in difficulty, Hashem has taken us out. But even when we think we're in charge, kochi botsam yoti, that we are the ones who are strong in the strength of our hand, recognize that too, shishayach l'tchum asei adam, avzemi de shamayim balo. Even that which you think belongs to you, really belongs to Hashem. And therefore, we take the Omer, we take, and the Korban HaOmer is a very powerful statement saying, that which we think belongs to us is ultimately Hanafas Omer. We wave it in all directions, saying that we recognize and understand and declare that this karpa, that this sacrifice, is a statement that all that we have belongs to Hashem. Now, that's a very well-known concept. The Chiddush, the novelty, comes in an insight in Source 10, based on the Sfas Emes. We normally understand that what does it mean that everything belongs to Hashem and all of that which we've accomplished belongs to God is b'tchum ha-gashmias, it's in the physical world. But the Chiddush is, it's also true b'tchum ha-ruchani, in the spiritual world as well. And here the Sfas Emes teaches this pasuk very interestingly. The pasuk of Vayishman Yishurun Vayivat, the asterisk in 10, that Yishurun, Klai Yisrael, will become fat, and then they'll kick, and then they'll deny a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only fat, says the Sfas Emes, we basar v'yayin, physically filling ourselves up with the pleasures of this world. But he says, rak afa shamein b'mitzvos u'maisim tovim. Even if someone fills himself up with mitzvos, with good deeds, Rak sheshocheach shehu b'koach elyon. And such a person forgets that even our mitzvos, our good deeds, are emanating from Hashem as well. Ah, but then you may ask me, Hakobi dei shemayim chutz mi'irat shemayim, is not everything in the hands of heaven except fear of heaven? Is that not my Torah, my ma'asim tovim in my hand, not in God's? Wrong. Right and wrong. What does this mean? Our job is to work on opening, to have the yigia shemashkia adam, to work on this relationship. But then, ein lo lachzik tova latzmo, don't take credit for all your accomplishments. Ela ladat no ki rak michastei habore zacha l'masha zacha. Once you've begun the process, being successful in Torah and you're a shemaim in avoda, that too is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the idea he speaks about in source number 11. The Sfasemes says, Ki be'emet kol hakdusha hi hanimshecha milamala. All of our kedusha, all of our holiness comes from above. Ha'ikar b'amshachat koch milamala v'avoda l'mata hi rak hachana shinuchal l'kabel kedusha. Our job, our focus is just making ourselves open and preparing ourselves to be able to receive that Kedusha from above. In the language of the Gras, we shouldn't think it's only a Hasidic idea, kol ratzon v'ava v'dveikus, desire, love, clinging to Hashem, mikadel ha'adam milamala, a person gets from above, af she'taluy yakol ba'adam, even though it's dependent on a person, mikol makom sarich l'kabel milamala, we nevertheless get it from Hashem, rak ha'chana taluy ba'adam. What is dependent on us, what is our job, is the hachana, is the preparation. And this is the concept where Chazal tells us, Pitchulu petach kechudel shamacha, open for me an opening the eye of a needle. And then I will open for you an opening that horses can go through. Our job is to begin the process. Our job is to begin in our avoda, in our amelus, in our working hard. But don't think for a moment that once we begin the process, we are the ones who complete the process. We begin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a shefa, a tremendous amount of blessing to be able to be successful. And therefore, says the Sfasemes in source number 12, what is this petach kechudo shomacha? What is this opening that we need to do in order to be able to receive such blessings? He says, Alzek ikara voda sa adam haratzon shebo. Our job, our chudo shomachat, our opening is ratzon, desire. Vadam asher kol megamat ritzono lavdo yitbarach shmo. If your whole desire is to serve Hashem, then Hashem will save you and give you the ability to do mitzvot semaisim tovim. And that's the idea of Omer. The pasuk says by Sfiras Omer, V'heinif et ha'omer lirtzon chem. You shall wave the omer offering lirtzon chem according to your desire, for your will. That's what you're waving. You're making a statement that what I am giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this omer is my ratzon, is my desire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless me. Svira, he says, means that you guard, you watch, you count, that nothing should happen to that hachana, to that preparation, that you have this will, you have this desire of closeness to Hashem, guard it, Sfiras HaOmer, so that you'll be able to be Zalcha, you'll be worthy of all the gifts that come on Shavuos. And that's why there's such a focus on Shabbos, because Shabbos is about Nisrusa de la Eila, an awakening from above. Shabbos is about the gifts that Hashem gives us, that's independent of man. Our job is to be meinif et ha'omer l'rtzonchem. We need to do our small ishtadlus, the pitzchuli petach kechud el shamacha, the ratzon, the desire, and the rest is all about sheva shabbatot tamimos, that Shabbos, machrat Shabbos, that Hashem blesses us with a tremendous amount of energy. My friends, this is a yesod, this is mamish, a fundamental aspect in our avodas Hashem. So often in life, a person may say, How can I handle this tremendous load that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me? It's an overwhelming load. And the answer is that our responsibility is to understand that the load is not for us to carry. We're not carrying the load. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is carrying the load. Our responsibility is to have a ratzon, a desire to do the best we can. Once we've demonstrated that ratzon, that desire, then the rest comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a matana. It's a gift from above. That's really the message of these psukim. You know, I'll just say on a personal level, I find it very humorous. Very often at the end of giving these shiurim, you know, I've been giving it between Pesach and Shavuos and a lot more public forums. So people come over to me afterwards and say to me, this week was a good week. Last week I liked better. Whatever it is. And I almost laugh to myself because it has nothing to do with me. Each year, I mean, with a person who works as full-time as I do, 7 days a week, each year is a miracle. I can read in the very short amount of time that I have, and daven for a lot of Kvitzas HaDerech, but I do my part in just opening up that petach kechudo shamacha, that small ratzot, and the shir is going to come from itself. So you like this week better, you like that week better, you know. I feel like, don't address it to me, address it to Ibn Shalom. Tell him, you know, I appreciated your help with her last week more than this week, because it has nothing to do with me as much as we prepare the ground, and the rest comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Imre Chaim, Rav Chaim HaKohen Kamil, notes in Source 13 and 14. He says, "Lifonein munakan yisod gadol, shav sharut shel hadam nimdedet kifi koach haratzon v'ruach hachayim sheyesh bo." Shilamrot shenireh shebaofen mitziyuti adam echad lo yachol larim masa kol kaved, aval sheifa shelo lasot et hamutal alav v'avodas Hashem notenet lo kol chol sheinam muvanim b'derechei hateva. How was Elazar able to carry such a heavy load? The answer is that he had the sheifa, he had the desire, he had the ratzon. If a person has this desire, if a person has this ratzon, they're able to do superhuman things. It's dependent on our attitude. And that is why he explains, and this is a beautiful idea, as a pre-Shavuos idea, he says, by Kabbalah Satorah, by receiving of the Torah, the Pasuk tells us, Panim b'panim diber Hashem achem bahar mitocha eish, that Hashem spoke to us, Parshas Vezchanan, face to face. And the Al-Shech HaKadosh in Source 15 asks a very basic question. How is it possible that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, face to face, which is the highest level of Nevuah, the highest level of prophecy? Kasher Medayin Lo Yurim Lekach. Were they worthy of such a high level of prophecy? So explains the Al-Shech HaKadosh that the Surah Briya Sa'adam, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should speak to people in prophecy, like Adam Arisha, a prophecy upon him, face to face. However, as a result of the Nachash, as a result of the sin with the snake, we lost that capacity of that close relationship. Says the Al-Shech HaKadosh, we know that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, Pascha Zumata, the effects of the snake dissipated, and therefore, the Jewish people were able to be back on the level of Adam HaRishon as the first person, and Tak Hashem spoke to them face to face. But on this, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh asks a very interesting question. If you want to tell me that the Jewish people came back to the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin, and Hashem was therefore able to talk to them face to face, how do I reconcile this, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, with the fact that when did the effects of the snake dissipate and disappear? Only when Hashem came to speak to them. When Hashem came to speak to them, then it was at that moment that they lost the effects of the snake. But till then, they still had the effects of the snake, which means they weren't worthy of Hashem speaking to them until that moment. And if they weren't worthy of Hashem speaking to them until that moment, so it means until that moment they still have the effects of the snake, and therefore Hashem could speak to them face to face. So he reconciles this by a very interesting response. And he says in 17, we can reconcile it with the following. Shekasher yesh koach ratzon v'shifa, when there's a desire, an ambition, a passion, lagia l'dargos ulamailos gvoos, to reach high levels. Etzem ha-she'ifa hi ha-makneh la'adam et ha-kochot. The desire itself is what allows the person to have this strength. Ve'tav shariot la'agia l'madregos halalu, and to reach this level. And that's why when Kla Yisrael stood at Mount Sinai, and they said, Nase v'nishma, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ritzoneinu lirot et malkeinu, we want to speak face to face with Hashem. Im Kain, the asterisk in 17, Koach Ratzon v'she'ifa shekazo, this desire, Liskot l'kirvas Hashem, to come close to Hashem, v'l'kabalos p'nei Hashem, to be able to greet Hashem personally, he ha madrega mat'ima l'kabalat nivua meit Hashem pani v'pani. That desire was enough to make them worthy that Hashem should then come to speak to them. And at the moment that Hashem came to speak to them, that was a makir patish that took away the effects of the nachash completely, and they were worthy to continue to have this relationship of a face-to-face relationship. You see here the power of ratzon, the power of desire, allows a person to reach levels that normally would be inaccessible for a person. And this, I think, is so fundamental for us. You know, Elazar could have looked at this load and said, forget it, it's way too heavy. But instead he chose to say, I have a desire to carry that which is of Kedusha, of holiness. It may be beyond my strength. I'm going to put in my all, and the rest is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the attitude that we need. When we look at our all, at our yoke, we have to say, I have the ratzon, I have the she'ifa, but I recognize that I am not doing this by myself. This, my friend, is clearly drawn out in the Sichos Musar at the end of 19, where the rabbis tell us, Ezu Gibor HaKovash at Yisra, who is strong, he who subdues his evil inclination. On the other hand, a rabbi said, we're not for the assistance of the Holy One, man cannot conquer his evil inclination. How can Chazal attribute the subordination of evil inclination to strength? The answer is that Hashem's assistance is commiserate to man's effort. Man battles, Hashem conquers. If man has succeeded in overcoming his evil inclination, it's indeed testimony to his strength. The Rush proves that Moshe was a Gibor, a strong person, for the fact that he single-handedly assembled the walls of the Mishkan, a feat requiring great strength. The Marsha asks, the Midrash says that it was through a miracle that the walls were assembled. If so, then how does this feat demonstrate Moshe's strength? A similar question may be asked of Midrash, which states that because Moshe had no part in the construction of the Mishkan, he's told he'd be the one to assemble the walls. The question arises once again. If it was through a divine miracle the Mishkan was assembled, how can Moshe have a share in the construction? And the answer is, and this is the answer we've been saying, as with all human endeavor and accomplishments, the final outcome, in this case the assembly of the walls, is Hashem doing. So long as Moshe expended all of his efforts, energies towards constructing the Mishkan, it was rightfully considered his doing. We need to put in our she'ifa, our passion, and the rest comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, in a interesting Hasidic tait, is what the Shari Moadim of Brazil brings down in 23. He says, perhaps to epitomize this message, it sounds in the pasuk by the gifts that Yosef gave Binyamin at this party before Binyamin knew it was Yosef. Ule Binyamin natan chamesh chalifot smalot, and to Binyamin he gave 5 changes of clothing. So he teaches this pasuk, ule Binyamin, if you want to be Benyamin, if you want to be close to Hashem, the right hand of Hashem, the key is chamesh. Chuto shel machat, moving around those letters, chet, shin, mem, chuto shel machat, open up the opening of an eye's needle. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you chalifo smoloch, he'll give you the change of clothing, he'll give you that extra energy, that extra ability, that extra protection that a person needs in order to accomplish in life. So my friends, we've seen now 2 levels. First is to show you the idea of leadership, carry a load yourself, that is Jewish leadership. To be no say be all in chaveiro. The second idea is, how was Elazar able to carry such heavy load? He had a ratzon, he had a she'ifa, and he understood it's not for him to carry alone. He needs to put in the energy, and Hashem will do the rest. And this is true, my friends, of our load in life as well. When we have the ratzon, when we have the she'ifa, when we have the passion, we need to put in our energies, but recognize both in the ruchnias as well as in the kashmias, in the physical as well as the spiritual. We just wave that omer, learn tzonchem, with ratzon, with desire, and the rest is sheva, shabbatos, tamimos. The rest is the concept of Shabbos, that Hashem blesses our work, blesses our hands, and all that we accomplish. My friends, let's move now to the third level. Third level is based on the Das Torah, Rabbi Yerucham from Mir. He notes the following, source 24. Even if you want to say Elazar was so strong, how are we to understand that a nasi was given such a heavy burden? He says, however, what we're learning here is a concept that we find by the story of Korach. When Korach, the tribe of Levi, complains, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Korach and he says, "Hama'ad mikem ki dilo ke Yisrael etchem, ma'adat Yisrael lakriv etchem elav, la'avodat avodat mishkan Hashem v'lamo lifnei adel l'shartat." Do you not understand that you have a special job, that you are here in order to serve Hashem? And the Das Torah goes on, Rabbi Yucham Levi goes on and says, what does it mean, lakriv etchem elav? It means vayu li ha'levi'im. They have a special ma'ila. They have a special job. And he notes, ubeshemo tipu'akdu, the arrow in 24, I'll call malacha malachai tachra zamalaya, mi v'mi sheyasena, karish ploni laploni, karim ploni laploni. Every boar had a name on it. This Levi will carry this boar. That Levi will carry that boar. Everyone had their specific tafki. And he says, v'lo davar katanhu, it's not a small thing to be given a specific charge. Avoda Chamayim Vadai, this is the service of God. And therefore we understand. She'en kol tmiya asher al Elazar HaKohen ital kolo matza kavedos, that why Elazar HaKohen had such a great burden. Ki ad l'shamayim siyo ve'Elazar HaKohen hu vadai asher nitaleh l'zchut v'kazot. Elazar HaKohen understood what a schus, what a merit it was to carry these items. And Elazar HaKohen understood that every person has their tailor-made load in life. And instead of looking at it, oh my gosh, how much oil, how much incense, how much do I have to schlep around in this hot desert? He looked at it instead as, wow, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me in my life. And my friends, this is really one of the major themes of Parshas Bamidbar. Very famous Medrash. In the beginning of the Parsha, when it speaks about how the Jewish people encamped according to degolim, according to their flags. And we know it's a very intricate system. You have three tribes on each side of the four sides, and then you had Moshe and Aaron, the three families of Levi, and then the Mishkan in the center. And it was every tribe had their own flag, their own color, their own insignia. Where did this all come from? So the Medrash says on the Pasuk in Source 25, the Morav HaShemesh Lashon Chasidim brings down, Ishal diglo beltot levet avotam. So the Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbah, on the Pasuk Kiviyani Abed Hayayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Jewish people on Mount Sinai, he came down with 22,000 Elif Revavot Shamalachim. And these Malachim were Dogul Mirvava. They were in formation of the Golim. And Jewish people, Hitchilu mit'avim l'tgolim, they said, we also want to be encamped just like these angels are as well. So a very famous question is, what was it about the way they encamped that the Jewish people desired to be encamped in the same way? So Morav HaShemesh has a very interesting take on it. He says, 27. Spoken about last few weeks, how the Jewish people need to have this very strong feeling of achdus, of connection. Nevertheless, Aside from the national unity, we all need to have an understanding of our personal standard in this world. Where do we stand? And he says, that's pshat, it's a gvaldik pshat in the pasuk of Sadika Tamar Yifrach. A tzaddik blossoms like a tamar tree. You know what's special about a tamar tree? Their tamar has many different aspects to it. You have the lulav that comes from the tamar. You have the peiros that come from the tamar, right? The dates. And you also have the leaves. He says, just like the tamar has different aspects, so too, kach yisrael, yesh bahem, mehem bali mikra, bali mishnah, bali akata. Some people like more chumash, some medrash, some mishnah. Everyone has their tchum, their place. Lachain tzarich adam lakirako, a person needs to recognize their place. Where do they belong? Where do they best fit in? To best serve Hashem. And that's what they saw among the angels. What was it about the angels that made them so impressed? He says in 29, no malach, no angel desired any other place of another angel. They didn't see one angel pushing another angel, move over, I want your place. Because rather they were shanan vahashkate. They had this inner tranquility. The asterisk in 29. Shekol echad amad bimkomo shanan vahashkate. Everyone stood in their place. Even though perhaps an angel's psychology, each one felt, maybe from that vantage point where this angel is standing, there's a greater iskalos hashchina, there's a greater divine revelation. Nevertheless, no angel budged from their place. They recognized that this is where they needed to stand. And when Klal Yisrael saw this, they say, halavai she'eh beinenu midasu. This is one of the greatest midos to have. She'yokir kol echad mekoma ra'ui lo. One of the greatest things we can have in life is to be happy with where we're at and not to push our friends to reach a level that we're not at, but rather daven to Hashem that where our place is, we can lahasi v'lishmo avdus Hashem, to be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this, my friends, I think it's sometimes such a great challenge. Where yes, we need to have she'ifa, we need to have passion, we need to have ambition, we need to move forward. But we need to move forward from a place of an understanding of who and what we are. To work one's whole life on the assumption that I'm standing in someone else's place is going to do that person a disservice because they're no longer standing there. They're not doing their mission. And you a disservice because you're not where you're supposed to be. To be able to say, my life is, and our life situation, it makes it so clear to us so often where we're at. For some people who have 10 children, that's right now their avodas Hashem. For another who not yet blessed with children or not yet married. So their avodas Hashem is more in terms of community work, that they have time to do things other people can't. Life circumstances allows us to clearly see where we need to be. Person lo aleinu, a sick child, that's where their avodas Hashem is, inspiring people through this child to have a cry in tefillah and tehillim to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't choose what our place is. But when life situation, wherever we're at now, brings us to a certain place, so we have to know that place well and dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that from this place we'll be able to do our service to the best of our ability. And that is the greatness of Elazar. Elazar was able to understand that if this is the burden that Hashem has put on me, and it may be a superhuman burden, this is the load of a lifetime. Yes. But this is what I know is what I need to work on. And with that feeling of this is what I need, there's a certain energy which is then exuded saying, this is my calling. This is where I need to put in my effort. This is where my rut zone's going to be. This is where my energy is going to be put. And that is why, just to further this idea, the count in our parsha is unique because it's not a count by shkoling, by the half a shekel. It's a count by the names. And as the Ramban points out in 35, it was a great honor for each person that he gave his name as an individual to Moshe and Aaron. And continuing in source 37, Rav Reis notes that this count was a different count. It was a count, L'shem Matarapni Mikyoter. It was a count to show you the Mispar Shemot, which says as for no, Ki Aya Az Kol Achad Malto Ador Nechshav Vishmo. Each one was counted with their name. And the name is Hamoreh Al Tzurat Ishuto, who a person is. And it was Noada Lav La'ata Yechuyuduyut Shel Kol Yachid. Sometimes a count depersonalizes, right? The mass, the total. But this count was in order to focus in on how special each and every one member of Klal Yisrael is. As Rashi begins, right, his Perush, it's the chiba, it's the love of Hashem to the Jewish people. Because as we know, the Chidush Arim brings down in 38, Ki Kol Adam Nivra Al Dover Miyuchad, every person is created to do something unique. Mashi Efshar La'adam Acher L'Takein Rak, who only you can fulfill. For Afa Pikein, nevertheless, we have to understand that we have to be vatel, we have to be able to nullify our job for the community as well. But recognize as well, he says, this is Fasemes, that in 39, V'minyan Shenimnu Kol Ish V'Yisrael Amakomo, Shenira Miseh Sheyesh L'Kol Ish V'Yisrael, Davar Meyuchad L'Sol L'Shem Yiparach. Our job is tailor-made for us, for our unique capacities, for our unique circumstances in life. And the name of a person is a reflection. Hashem mekapel b'kirbo, the end of the first paragraph in 39, and mahuto shel adam. Why were they counted by their name? Because the name encompasses the essence of a person. And the name, I've yet to meet a person who doesn't have a name, right? I met a lot of people who don't have a, you know, I ask girls, what are you majoring in college? And I find the most popular major is, I don't know. And it must be like one of those boxes that you check, you know, like economics, a lot of the T's, PT, OT, you know, and I don't know. But I haven't yet met a person, when you ask them, what is your name? Their name is, I don't know, I don't have a name. Because a name is the essence of who and what a person is. And that's why, quoting the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky, sets out that if a parent is going to name a child two names, you have to be prepared and ready to, or three names, or four names, however many names you want to name a child, it's your prerogative. But you have to be ready to name your child the names that you name your child. So if you name your child after two people, then you should be calling that child both names. Rav Weinberger speaks about you should call them at least once a day by both names, and not only when you get angry at them, because then that, you know, has a certain association. But really, ultimately, if the name is the essence, and every essence has a job to do, so we'd like to infuse that essence with as much koach, with as much potential as possible. And therefore, we should really be careful to call people, but, and two men Hebrew names obviously here, by both their names, because that, or all their names, because that is their essence, that is who and what they are. That is the third level. That how is Elazar able to carry this load? Because he understood it was his privilege to be able to have this particular job. And if Hashem Taylor made this job for him, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he is able to handle in life. And if he is able to handle this in life, then his attitude is going to be, I will do my utmost to be able to carry this load. We need to understand each and every one of us who's created is not created by accident. Each and every one of our names is divinely given. Within our name is our ability to be able to be successful in this tailor-made job. We're v'diglo le'ava, where we need to know where our dekel is, where our place is. And from that place, how can we best create a kiddushin shemayim, a sanctification of God's name, and not to say, if I were only in another place, then I could. No, the place you're in, where that malach stood, he didn't push to get to his friend's place. In that place, he was able to sing Shira to Hashem. The final idea of the four It's based on the Tanit Das, Rav Sternbach, source number 45, where he says the following. V'nira lefarish, we can explain, she'alozer lo nasa masa kol aneiros. No, this is the second understanding in the Ramban. He didn't carry this whole burden. Elazar was in charge of, not that he carried it all. He was the one in charge of giving it out. But because the mitzvah was so beloved to him, he decided to carry the oil himself. Which is a lot of oil. It was enough oil for one candle. Ubachar, and Elazar decided to choose Lasait Shmano Shalanera Maravi. He wanted to carry the oil of the western candle, the Ner Maravi, Tafka specifically, Shinaso Bonisi, which had miracles with it, Vispik, Hashem and Shabo Lachol Yamama. It was lit Ben Harbaim in the afternoon time, and it lasted that Ner Maravi to the next day. But he gave the other oils and the incense to others. We learn from here. When we have a mitzvah, we should try to do it to our utmost. And to have it beloved to us. Even if it's hard for us. Even if it weighs us down. What a special merit it is to be able to carry the burden of that which is holy. My friends, I think this is really an important lesson for us. Whatever job we have in life is a job of holiness. It's a job that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. We should feel the chavivos. We don't look at life as a burden. We look at it as a special, as an opportunity. And I think when he speaks about particularly Lasait Olam Mekudash to have the burden of that which is holy. What comes to mind is that famous Rashi in our parsha, the Eila Todos Aaron and Moshe. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe, and it lists Aaron's children. But we thought this was the children of Aaron and Moshe. So we learn from here: whoever teaches their friend's son's Torah, it's as if you gave birth to them. That you have here perhaps a model of a person involved in the burden of teaching Torah specifically. What a schus, how you have to look at it as such a merit. In fact, Rav Pam, in the Sefer Shabbos of Rav Pam, speaks about this concept underscores the great privilege, 46. It is to be a melamed, a Torah teacher. In fact, Hashem himself is described as hamelamed Torah la'amo Yisrael, the one who teaches Torah to his people Israel. And it's interesting, he says in 47, Rav Pam Zatzal lived this. A mechanech's responsibility for his students is not limited to the time they are in his or her class. A mechanech carries a lifelong responsibility to keep a kesher with the students even long after they left his direct daily influence. A mechanech should attend the simchas of a student despite the time and effort involved. He must keep in touch with them even after they leave the yeshiva and see how they're adapting to the challenges of the working world and or married life and child rearing. It's a masa, it's a burden. Trust me, emails after emails to keep in contact and answering phone calls of students. But this is what he's saying is, if this is the burden of the holiness, we look at it as chavivos, as how special it is. It's not something like, oh no, but wow, this is how we have to look at it. It's all about attitude. Our avodas hakodesh is holy work. While all this, 48, seems to impose an enormous burden on Torah teachers, they should never forget the great reward which awaits them in the world to come. The pasuk says, and those who make the many righteous will shine like the stars forever and ever. Gemara Bava Basra says that this refers to melamdei tinokos, teachers of children. The Marsha explains the comparison of mechanchim to stars. Just as the stars exert their influence even when they are not seen, so too the devoted and conscientious Rebbe will not relinquish his supervision and concern for students, even when it's not with him. And it's also true that the influence of the mechanech is with the student for many years to come, where the student feels that the mechanech cares about them and that they can reconnect and be able to turn to them for etzah. And that is perhaps the idea of Elazar, whose name is Elazar, Hashem helps. That's the whole concept here. It's not up to him. It's recognizing Hashem's role in this, decides to take specifically the part of the oil, which is the Ner Tami. It's the continual lamp. It's that understanding that when we have Chavivos, when we look at our role as beloved, then recognize that that effect is like that Ner Tami, the light. It's like the light of the stars. Its illumination is going to be forever. When we devote ourselves, whether it's specifically to our teachers, whether it's parents, whether it's people involved in communal work, when we involve ourselves in Avodas HaKodesh, in holy work, recognize the effects is like that light. The illumination goes on for years and years and years afterwards. And therefore, we should recognize how beloved and how special this opportunity is. Having said all of this, if we understand that we are in a position of looking at the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us in life as giving us the load of a lifetime that's tailor-made for us, and our job is just the ratzon, is the desire, and our job is to be able to take this burden, this load, with a feeling of belovedness, of specialness, that this is what Hashem knows is what each and every one of us can handle, so then we can never have a position of yeush, of giving up hope. We always have to be able to recognize that whatever load Hashem gives us, we have the capacity to put in our effort to be able to ask Hashem to help us carry our load. And I'd like to just finish with a short story I heard from somebody who was in one of the shuls of Ramat Beit Shemesh on Shabbos. One of the Chashev Rabbanim here, Rabbi Kornfeld, gave the following story, and I think it's very appropriate for our discussion. Once there was a woman, whose husband was in learning, and she was involved in the fabric business. And she used to go once a year to the major fair, buy fabric, and then, make things with it, sell it, and have enough money for the next year, and this is what she did every year. So one year she comes to the fair, and she picks out some fabric, and she opens up her purse, and the money's gone. She's hysterical. The money's gone. What am I going to do? And she starts looking for the money, and she can't find the money. So she turns to some of the Jews who were in the fair, and she starts asking, did you see the money? Did you see the money? And finally, there's one Jewish guy who says, you know what? I found the exact money you lost, exactly as you described it. The bills, the way it was marked, exactly. Oh, she says, great, fantastic, I'm so happy you found it at an airlift. You had found the money, great, give it to me. He says, no. He says, the halacha is of yeush, that if you lose money, I'm not getting into the specifics here halachically for you to pass him, in a place where there are a lot of non-Jews, so then a person of the CIH, they give up hope, they despair, and you probably despaired of ever finding the money, and in such a case, it's my money, halachically it belongs to me. She says, what? He says, yeah. Halachically, the money is mine. Isn't it nice? Hashem gave me so much money. Wow, what's that? That's a wonderful thing. So she says, hold on a second. She says, I'm not leaving this like this. Let's go to the Rav of Kovno, the famous Rav Yitzchak Chaim Spector. Let's ask Das Torah. He says, sure, I know the money's mine. So they go to the Rav and she explains the whole story. And the Rav says, give her back the money. The money's hers. He says, what do you mean? Yeah, she probably despaired. So the Rav explained, Rav Yitzchak Chaim Spector explained, he said, really? The wife is being sent by her husband. The husband is still sitting and learning, and in his mind, he expects the wife to come back with the merchandise. He was never misyayesh. He never gave up hope. Since he never gave up hope, technically that money still belongs to her because he never gave up hope of the money being lost or her buying the merchandise. And likewise, the same thing is true of us. We are just the shlichim. We are just the emissaries. We're just this woman in this case. We have the husband. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol who sends us. Hashem is never misyayish. Hashem never gives up hope on any of us. Hashem sends us to the marketplace. He sends us down to this world. He sends us with a world of challenge, with a world of burden, with a world of difficulty. But he also sends us with this understanding that he believes in each and every one of us. He calls each and every one of us by our name, like the stars. He loves us. He invests in each and every one of us. And this is the lesson that we need to learn from our lives, from Elazar HaKohen, that even though the burden is great and the load of a lifetime is a tremendous load, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, all I'm asking you for you is open the opening of a needle, ratzon, she'ifa, desire. I'm carrying the load. It's not you who's carrying it. You have the desire. I'll help you out. Recognize that this load is tailor-made to you. When he saw this, he felt this passion. He felt this enthusiasm. He felt this ability to carry this load. When we feel how each of our loads is tailor-made for us, the diglo le'ava, where we belong, the shemos, our names, our essence, then we feel we too can carry the load. And when we feel this chavivus, we feel the specialness, we feel that this is what we need to do in our service of Hashem, that no load is too difficult to handle. And when we feel this connection, what a wonderful mindset to then walk into Shavuot saying, Ritzoneinu lerota malkeinu, Hashem, we're ready to serve you. We're ready to be able to continue in life carrying this specific load that you have given us. And it's our pleasure to be your servants.